praying, for moving, for gathering in close. This is family time. It's family time. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 7. And then we're going to go to 1 Chronicles 16. And Sister Gabrielle, you're doing a great job back there with the media, the screens. So just take a deep breath. And you just know that I've got two sets of notes uploaded to my Dropbox tonight. One's in English only, and the other one is a hot mess express of English and Spanish. And so I didn't have time to send you the scriptures, so we're just going to be patient, and you're going to do fine. So you just take a deep breath, because you're doing great. James chapter 4. And man, Brother Chase has been doing a great job helping out back there too. Man, I'm proud of these young people. They're doing great. James 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually." We're going to take our time. We're going to go real slow. We're going to take baby steps tonight. And we're going to talk about a guide to prayer. A guide to prayer. Let's put our Bibles down and let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've already done here tonight, your spirit that is so evident. God, we want to give you thanks and honor and praise for all that you are doing in our city, all that you are doing in our lives, in our communities, in our families. God, we thank you for what you're doing. And I pray, God, that tonight you would help somebody and everybody draw closer to you. God, I pray that you would give us a greater understanding and a simpler understanding of what it means to pray. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Now, we uploaded something, or my wife did rather, and it is in Church Center under the Spiritual Disciplines group. And in that Spiritual Disciplines group, there is all kinds. Somebody say all kinds. All kinds of resources in there. Now, I think, this is just me being hungry, but I think that what we're teaching tonight is simple enough that even our children can understand it. So, I know we've got some kids in here tonight. Is there anybody, any kids that want a paper copy? Now, you do? Are you going to pray? Because you need to pray. We're all about giving resources, but we want these resources to be used. He's ignoring me. He doesn't want it.
I'm fine now.
He's fine now.
Yeah? Okay, that's enough. Selah, do you want a paper copy? Or Desi, do you want a paper copy? All right, that's enough. Thank you. Ezekiel, do you want? Never mind. So if you could just print two for me, please. That would be great. So James chapter 4, and I'm just going to, this is such a good scripture that this is a freebie here. A lot of times you hear us quote, or you hear quoted verse 8, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you," or "draw nigh to you." And that's true. He will. The closer you get to God, the more effort you put forth to get close to God. God's going to draw closer to you. So stand up. You're going to help me. Make sure you're not going to fall asleep tonight. So I take one step towards God. You're picking it up. Do you see how that happens? It's like I took two steps, but I only took one. It really is. Listen, living for God really is that simple. Okay? Really is. That's it. And I take another step, and he takes another step, and another step. And before long, I can feel like I'm actually in God's arms.
Amen.
Don't get it. Okay, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh unto you. But verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. I want to be submitted to God. I want to be submitted to God, because if I'm submitted to God, when I resist the devil, he'll flee from me. But if I'm not submitted to God, this is where it all starts. I got to submit myself to God so that when I resist the devil, he will flee from me. And when I draw closer to God, God will draw closer to me. So how do we draw closer to God? How do we, like 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11 said, how do we seek the Lord and his strength? How do we seek his face continually? Now, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He literally moved from where he lived and just walked and lived in the land of Canaan. He was looking for something. But is that what you and I have to do tonight? Are we required to literally sojourn and literally walk and literally seek God's face? Well, no. But prayer is a subject that we have discussed many times before, and we will discuss it many times after tonight. I don't know if we'll get through everything that I want to get through tonight, but if not, we'll pick it up another day. But we have spent hours teaching about fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer. We've talked about deep prayer, intercession, warfare praying, and so on. And we know that prayer is our greatest privilege as believers. It really is. When we pray, we are talking to God. Literally. We are talking to God. We have access to the Master. However, our prayer life often suffers from something. This is a great big word, so you gotta sit up and pay attention. Our prayer life often suffers from something called overthinking. Well, how do I pray effectually? And how do I pray fervently? Like Brother Verbal Bean said, what channel of approach is going to get me the closest to God today as what I desire to be? And we tend to overthink. Now, the dictionary defines overthinking. And maybe this is overthinking to define overthinking, but to think too much about something, to put too much time into thinking about or analyzing something in a way that is more harmful than helpful. So I want to slow things down tonight, and I want to take us back to the basics of prayer. First of all, nobody has control over your prayer life but you.
Right.
You can decide that you want to grow in prayer, and no one can stop you.
Amen.
Here's the cool thing about prayer. It'll never be taken out of schools unless they get rid of tests and quizzes and pop quizzes in schools. Because there are kids who pray in school, they don't pray any other time. They're like, oh, God, help me. Hey, you're not allowed to do that. I'm going to pray anyway, man. They don't pray over their lunches, but they pray over the tests and the quizzes. Doesn't matter if you're kidnapped and your mouth is duct taped, that can't keep you from praying.
Right. Amen.
You can decide to pray, and nobody can stop you.
Amen.
Except yourself.
Right.
One of the things we're going to look at in the beginning of this lesson tonight is there are two different ways of speaking. The first is known as a monologue, and that's a long speech monopolizing conversation. That's when one person does all the talking. They monopolize the conversation. Every time you go to interject something, you can't because there's no airspace left. And the second manner of speaking is known as dialogue, and that is a conversation between two or more people. So I want you to think tonight, and we're going to be real honest with ourselves. You don't have to answer out loud. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think, and I want you to be honest with yourselves. If we're thinking about a one-sided conversation where one person, meaning you or I, monopolize the conversation and the airspace, or dialogue with two or more persons are speaking. In this case, it would be two people speaking. Which of those describes your prayer life? Now, I'm just going to pause there and let you know that we all can grow in prayer. And if this was something that we all had perfected, there would be no need to teach it, no need to talk about it, but we're going to help each other tonight. Because the fact is that God wants to hear your words. He wants to hear your thoughts, your feelings. He wants those to be poured out to him. That's why his word said, cast your cares upon me, take my yoke upon you. There's a trade-off that when I pray, I'm unloading things to God, and in turn, he is giving me other things. I'm giving him ashes, he's giving me beauty. I'm giving him grief and mourning and heartache, and he gives me the oil of joy for my mourning, my grief, my sorrow. So there is a trade-off that begins to happen. But God wants to hear our words and not just memorized prayers of tradition. You don't have to come to God with these big, fancy words, and you don't have to present all of the documents of your education to God before you pray. Children can pray. Adults can pray. Senior citizens can pray. Educated folks can pray. Uneducated folks can pray. Everybody can pray. Simple prayers work. And talking to God is all that matters. I see a lot of you with your phones in your hands and you're waiting and with bated breath. We're going to get to that a little bit later. So just I'll let you know when we get there so you're not trying to follow along with something that's just not there yet. So talking to God is all that matters, but I want to be effective. And my flesh and your flesh needs to be trained in how to pray. So Jesus is our greatest example of prayer. The Bible records that he would pray early in the morning. Sometimes he would pray through the entire night. He spent a lot of his time ministering. In fact, he had very little time to himself between the crowds, the multitudes, and the disciples, and then the 12, and then the 3, and it's just, he had very little time for himself, but he always made time to pray. He always made time to pray. In fact, he would often find a private place to spend time in prayer. He didn't spend a lot of time teaching his disciples about prayer, but he lived prayer in front of them. And so parents, or young people who desire to be parents, the best example that we can provide our children of prayer and teaching them prayer is for them to see us and hear us pray. Amen. He lived prayer in front of them, and he taught them by his example until they asked him about prayer. So there's a very clear passage about prayer that gives us a lot of direction into how Jesus viewed prayer. Or how he views prayer, rather. So if we're going to be praying, and we should be praying, this is what this is all about, then I want to hear. I mean, this is like a cheat code, okay? It's like for all of you who play or played video games. I don't know if they still do it or not, because I haven't played video games for years. But when I was a teenager, you could literally go to the game store and you could buy a thick book of cheat codes for all of these different games. And it was like, well, that's how I'm going to, you know, just flipping through, finding it. Oh, man, that game's not in there. Whatever. But this passage is like a cheat code to unlock boss level prayer. Okay? So if we're praying to Jesus, who we know is God, then it would make sense for us to look at how he taught them to pray. It's like the back door into the prayer room. Like, hey, if you want to get some stuff done, this is how you do it. And I am going to be the one hearing you, so I'm going to teach you how I want you to pray. Right. It's like Jesus telling you, this is my love language. If you want to love me, do it this way. Guys, that's like your wife saying, hey, here's a great long list. And if you do every single thing on this list every day, consistently, it's going to be great. I mean, what kind of knucklehead would say, I don't need that. Don't answer. So what does he desire? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, Matthew 6 and verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into thy closet, and when you've shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, Jesus was not telling them that there was anything wrong with praying in public. The New Testament is filled with examples of the early church praying together in homes and in public. In fact, devout Jews would pray in public three times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. You can find it in the book of Acts. However, praying at church should not be the only time we pray. God desires to spend time with us in prayer when nobody else is around to witness it. What if the only time you talk to your significant other, let's call it husbands and wives. I'm just going to pick on you guys because I know you can handle it. Okay. What if the only time that Chris talked to you, Sister Dawn, was at church? Chances are there'd be some talking going on outside of the church with the pastor and his wife, because that ain't right. Brother and Sister Smith, it's so good to have you. Y'all been doing some talking, but what if? My man. Good to have you back. What if the only time these two talked as husband and wife were when they were in public? When everybody else could see, but when they go home, they don't talk. No. It's not right. That's not normal. And everybody in here agrees, that's not normal. So why should my relationship with God be any different? Right. Now, my relationship with God is about a whole lot more than just what you see. Right. So praying at church should not be the only time that we pray. God wants us to spend time with him when nobody else is around to witness it. Because prayer is communication with God. And we all know that communication is a vital part of a healthy relationship. So, verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So what you say when you pray does matter. Amen. We've all been there. We've all struggled, and some of us still struggle in prayer. We're all, this is something that, I'm just going to stop qualifying it, okay? That we find ourselves saying the same thing over and over and over again. And Jesus tells his disciples, it's not about how many words a person speaks. He said, don't be like the people that are just standing out there on the street corner and they're just repeating themselves because they want everybody to think that they're super spiritual. Let your words be sincere, because God already knows what you need before you ask him. So there are things that we don't want to do when we pray. The vain repetition and so on and so forth. But is there a pattern that we should follow? Well, verse 9 tells us that yes, there is a pattern. He said, after this manner, pray ye, our Father. So the first thing that we notice is he did not say, my Father. He said, our Father. Now, there are no personal pronouns in the Lord's Prayer. What does that mean? That means it is not as much about me. Praying is not as much about me as I would like to think. It does not begin with, hey God, it's me. I need $1 million. He said, actually, you need about $10.47. I already know. It's not, hey God, it's me. I'd really like so-and-so's brakes to go out going down the hill. But it begins with saying, our Father. Because once I am filled with the Holy Ghost, I am part of the body of Christ. Amen. And so he says, don't be like the ones who are just out in the street praying, but when you go into your prayer closet, shut the door. What is he saying? He's not saying you go in and you isolate yourself. It's not what it's about. But praying this way in secret is not me sneaking away into isolation, because I'm part of the body of Christ. So the purpose, listen to this. This is something that I caught, I don't remember, last year, the year before, and it's stuck with me, and it's pushed me outside of my own shell, and it's made me realize that the world's a lot bigger than me. Once I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, the purpose of aloneness is to gain strength that I then bring back to the body. Our. Well, you're praying in secret, but it's still about us. It's still about the body. The purpose of aloneness is to gain strength to bring back to the body. And so Jesus begins by telling them that their connection with God can be and should be as close as a baby with his or her daddy. Prayer helps connect the believer to God, helps connect us to God's mission, and it helps connect us to the well-being of God's people. So how we start praying matters. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You fill all of time. You fill all of space. Now, before we get through tonight, we're going to talk about praying scripture. So I want you to be thinking about that as we go through this, okay? You fill all of time. You fill all of space. And you can start using phrases like, God, I know that you're with me because you're everywhere. You care about me. You care about your people. You want what is best for your people. And we can't thank you enough for all that you've done. But I'm coming to you today wanting to spend time with you. Hallowed be thy name. There's nobody like you, God. So do you see what begins happening here is that we begin focusing on God instead of focusing on self. We begin to feel our faith lift instead of feeling overwhelmed by life. And life is overwhelming. Life gets crazy. And so, if I can push my way out of my way, and I can start praying by starting with my focus on Him, He's saying that's what's going to get my attention the quickest. Thy kingdom come, verse 10. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God, my will is not important. Your will is important. I want my mind to be aligned with God's mind. I want my desires to be aligned with God's desires. I want the purpose and the plan of God in my life. And so as I begin praying and I begin acknowledging who He is, how great He is, how magnificent He is, then I say, okay, God, I want to bring my will. I'm going to submit myself to You. I want Your purpose and Your plan in my life. I want to be in Your will. I want Your will to be done in my life. And I'm sorry for anything in my life that's not part of Your plan. And I want to realize those things, God, and I need Your help to get those things taken care of because I want to be part of Your kingdom. I need You. We're decreasing, and we're letting God increase. And we're making room for God in our lives. We're making room for God in our prayer lives. Now, Pastor, does that mean that we don't ever pray about our needs? No. We'll get to that. So just hold on. I want to be a part of Your kingdom. I need You. I want You to be the most important thing in my world. And so it's here that you can start looking even outside of our local church, and you can start praying for missionaries and churches around the world and home missionaries and daughter works and so on, because God, we want to see Your kingdom come in the earth. And so we notice it's still not about me. It's about the kingdom as a whole. And this is the pattern that God gave. It's about the kingdom as a whole. And only after all of that, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, that was not a prayer that He gave so that we could recite it. And when we get to the end of those few verses, buddy, we've prayed for today. It's a pattern. And it's only after we get to verse 11 that the things change. When we get to verse 11, it's give us this day our daily bread. The focus changes. The focus of their prayers, the focus of our prayers change. And they begin to focus on personal requests. Give us this day our daily bread. God, You know what I have need of today. Now, daily bread means daily prayer. Amen. We were designed for a relationship with our Creator. And that relationship requires daily communication. So as our time marches on, we have to make time for God. We have to make time for God. Now, God is everywhere, all the time. So when I pray, I have to make time for Him. I have to make time for what? I have to make time for Him to break in to my life. I have to make time for Him to enter into my world and interrupt my routine, to break through in my prayer. And I have to break through in prayer so God can move in my life today, because I need Him to move today just like I did yesterday, and I'm going to need Him to move tomorrow just like I did today. So He gives a pattern, and we're going to pause here, and we're going to talk about simplifying prayer. Simplifying prayer. And this is where we're going to give a guide to prayer. There's a lot of different ways to pray. There's a lot of different helps to pray. And some of us may be new to prayer, and that's okay. Because everybody has to start somewhere.
That's right. Amen.
So we're going to be real tonight and understand and confess that it's easy to get distracted while we pray. It happens to everybody. But there are practical things that we can do to help ourselves stay focused during prayer.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, there are just times where I just don't feel like praying. Join the club. But I promise you this, the more you pray, the more you'll want to pray. The more you break into what God has for you today, the more you're going to want to break in again and again and again. But maybe you're struggling with your faith, or just life is overwhelming. How do I pray through this when I'm dealing with unbelief and doubt? Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says it this way. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. When I'm struggling having faith, the source I can turn to, even when I'm praying, is the word of God. So, things I can do. I want to find Bible verses about points or topics or situations that I want to pray about today. I want to find those verses and I want to write those verses out. I want to write them out on maybe index cards or in a notepad or highlight them in my Bible or in a prayer journal or a prayer notebook. Now, I have compiled the beginnings of a cheat book for you. That's in the spiritual disciplines group. So if you have your phones, your tablets, your computers, your desktops, whatever, find them, pull them out. We're going to talk about them here in just a minute. It is titled Prayer Journal Resource. So I'm going to find Bible verses about those situations or whatever I'm struggling with, and I'm going to pray about those, and I'm going to pray those Bible verses. I'm going to maybe even dedicate an entire page for each topic, whatever it is. Oh, hang on a second. I want to use those verses to help build up my faith. What does the Word of God say about this? What does the Word of God say about this? Now, it sounds really simple, but it's going to do two things. First of all, it's going to help you pray. Second of all, it's going to help you search the Word of God. I'm going to dedicate pages or a section of pages to those topics. I'm going to maybe tag specific Bible verses in my Bible with different colored tabs or highlight them with specific colors. Or maybe you use a Bible app on your phone and you can bookmark categories. And maybe you use a tablet and it's got a fancy pencil or a stylus and you can add those to a note taking app, and it's something that you can bring to prayer with you. Something that when you feel yourself getting into vain repetition, where you're like, okay, God, I'm here. I mean, I'm logging minutes. I'm logging hours in prayer, but I want to be effective. I don't want to just get caught in a trap and in a cycle. So this is something that I'm going to do in order to help break that cycle. So I'm going to give you an example here. And these verses are listed in that resource. Maybe the order of the day is praise and worship. Now, according to what Jesus told his disciples, that's always a great way to start. Our Father, which art in the heavens of heaven, the original language likely said, that he fills all of time and space. And Jesus is saying, hey, start out by talking about how great God is, about how magnificent. And David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So you can start in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. And you don't have to go there on the screen, but it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. And we're going to break this down here in just a little bit. How exactly do I pray Scripture? Is it as simple as reading it out loud? Well, yeah, it can be, but it's going to get the wheels flowing, and it's going to get the Holy Ghost stirred up. And we could look at Job 42 and verse 2. It says, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Now you start talking about coming into prayer on a day where you feel like the world is wrecked. And you look at the words that Job wrote. And he said, God, I know there's nothing that you can't do. Now it's going to be real hard to stay in the mully grubs. It's going to stay hard being downcast and downtrodden. And when you start thinking about even Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endureth. His mercy is everlasting, for his truth endureth to all generations. And so there's a list there. And then there's a list of verses to use when you're praying during hard times. And there's verses to use when you're struggling with unbelief. And there's verses to use when you're struggling with sin. And verses to use when you're praying for healing. And verses to use while you're praying and fasting. And verses to use when you're praying for courage or boldness, and when you're preparing to go out and outreach or to win souls. And there's a list of verses to use when you're interceding and you're praying for souls, and verses to use, yes, even when you're praying for your enemies. God, let their toes rot off. I don't think that's in there, but Scriptures to use when you're praying over your family, your spouse, your kids, or even your friends. Or maybe you need guidance, or scriptures listed there for that. And those are examples, okay? So this is what this resource is. This is a start. This is a place to start. If you got a printer and you want to print those off, or you want to download those onto your tablet or onto your computer, and you start making a list, and you add those to your prayer list or your prayer journal. And journaling is something I've started 3 or 4 times, and I always remember to pray, and I never remember to bring the journal. So I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but I've got notes on my phone that, if I'm praying and I feel something specific in prayer that God wants me to share with the church, I'll write it there. God's sharing something with me, I'll write it there. And then I'll write it in my prayer journal later. But these are verses that you can write down, you can keep with you. You can add to them as you're praying. And it's something that's going to help you continue. Something that's going to keep you from getting stuck in a rut and finding yourself struggling with vain repetition. So I want to give you an example of praying Scripture tonight. And I mentioned a few weeks ago that God had dealt with me during corporate prayer. And I started using scripture that specific evening when we were all here together to pray. And it was Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. And it's not unfamiliar, but I'm not just going to say, hey, you start praying scripture and you just figure this out on your own. This is something that's worked for me, something that I'm still working on, because we never get to a place in our prayer life where we've just got it all figured out when there's nowhere else to grow or to go. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, Sister Gabby, if you would, go to verse 10, please. How in the world can we use this, Pastor? I mean, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. How could we use this to pray in our personal prayer time? Well, verse 10 starts this way. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the first and foremost thing to remember is that the word of God is the word of God. Amen. It is not the words of men, but holy men of God wrote as the Spirit moved upon them to write. And so these are not the words of Paul, but these are the words of God. And so when we start praying scripture, we start praying with God's words in our mouth. Okay? So we could start by recognizing that, first of all, God has equipped us with the weapons that we need to overcome the enemies of our soul. So we start there. We start, God, I thank you for the victory. God, I know that there is spiritual forces against us. There are enemies of my soul. And God, I know that it doesn't always look like we're going to win. But God, I know that you have equipped me. I know you've given me the tools that I need to have victory. But God, I know that you've already won the battle and that you want me to win the battle. Now, what am I doing? I'm praying scripture. And I would start there. Say, God, I know that you intend for me to win the victory, because I'm going to bring glory to your name. Wherefore, take unto you, in verse 13, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God, help me to stand for what's right. Lord, I need your help to make it through the battle. There's evil all around me, and I don't want it to overcome me. I don't want to become its victim. So, God, I need you to help me stand. Now, that's probably not something that I'm just going to pray on my own when I'm trying to punch the clock and just getting prayer done. But it helps me to focus. And if I find myself, Jesus. Now, there's power in the name of Jesus. But when I start praying scripture, it helps bring me back into focus. Help me to stand, God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. God, I want to thank you for the truth. Your word lights my way. God, I pray that your word guides me. God, I pray that I always look to your word. Lord, help me. Help me to fall in love with your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. Help me fall in love and follow your word. God, I want to be righteous. the breastplate of righteousness. I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. I want to do the right things, and I don't want to live the way that I used to live. I want to be different. I pray, God, that you would help me to make choices that bring me closer to you. And we all know that the breastplate would cover the heart and the vital organs. So maybe we could even pray something like this. Lord, I need you to protect my heart from anything or anyone that's not godly. God, I don't want to be a part of anything, any relationship, any connection that would pull me away from you. So, God, I want you to be the center of my life, and I want to fall in love with righteousness. So, God, I pray that your righteousness would guard my heart. I'm praying scripture. I'm praying scripture. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel shoes. Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to know what it means to be saved. I want to be able to share the gospel with anyone and everyone I meet. I want to be ready to tell the world of the peace and the hope that I have in you. And so, God, protect my feet, protect my way. God, I pray that you would guide my steps. And I don't want to be out of your will, so I'm asking you, God, that your word would be my map, that you would let my steps be aligned with your will and help me carry the truth to those around me and to the whole world, because I want to be kingdom-minded. I want to make disciples. I want to fulfill your word. And God, help my feet carry your gospel. Help my feet carry your word. Does that make sense? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Lord, I know that faith comes by hearing your word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. And I want to fall in love with your word so that my faith never fails. I don't want to give any room for doubt in my life. So, God, I'm bringing you my faith, and I'm bringing you my doubt today. God, I pray that when situations arise, I would look to you for help. I want my first response to be searching your word and seeking you in prayer. And God, I know if I do this, your word is going to protect me. Your word will never lead me astray. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, your word says that salvation is like a helmet. So God, I'm asking you to protect my mind. God, I've already asked you to protect my heart. I've already asked you to lead my steps and guide my steps, but Lord, I don't want to think the way that I used to think before I came to you. Amen. I don't want to see the world the way that I used to see the world, but God, I want to see the world the way you see the world. I want to see the world around me through the lens of your word, God. So I'm asking you to help me think differently. Renew my mind by your salvation. Renew and transform my mind. Help me to understand the power that I have through your Spirit. Help me to use your word to fight against any enemy of my soul. Help me, God, to hide your word in my heart so I don't sin against you. So you see how one scripture can lead to other scriptures, and before you know it, the things that you have prayed and you have read before can start connecting, and it's God's word that's helping you and I pray. You and I push through. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So again, it's not just about me. It's all saints. So God, I'm praying for my church family. God, I'm asking that you would protect them today. I ask that you would open the doors that need to be opened for them. Close the doors that need to be closed for them. We are your people. We're the people of your name, and we want you to move in our lives. So God, I'm asking you to use us for your glory. And so you can use that Ephesians chapter 6, and you can use that to pray for the entire person from your head all the way down to your feet. God, cover me in your armor. Cover me in your word. Everything that I need can be found in the word of God. So, I'm almost done. Praying can really be as simple as that. Isaiah 25 and verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I'll exalt you. I'll praise your name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Think about it. How would you start praying that? How would you take that verse and start incorporating that into your prayer? God, you're my God. I want to exalt you. I want to bless you. I want to praise your name. God, you've done wonderful things. You have only ever been faithful to me. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your truth. And we've got a roadmap. And we've got a tool to help us pray more effectively. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Very familiar. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How would you incorporate that into your prayer? How would you incorporate 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25? Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. How might you incorporate that into prayer? How might you incorporate something like Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How would you incorporate Scripture? So I want us tonight, maybe you've got a favorite. Does anybody have a favorite Scripture? Brother Stratton, I'm going to pick on you. But before I do that, do you have a second favorite? Okay. That's good. What's your favorite?
For the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, for pulling down the strongholds, casting down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled.
So, how would you pray that? So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Let's go to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. God, I don't want to walk in my flesh. So you can take that scripture and you can start applying it. Quoting it's great, but I want to take it a step further, and I want it to make it or make myself apply to the scripture. How do I use that? God, I don't want to walk in the flesh because I don't war after the flesh. This isn't a physical battle that we are in, so I can't just walk according to my flesh. Verse 4, please. For the weapons of our warfare, God, the full armor of God that you have given me is not carnal. It's not carnal. These are not carnal words. These are God's words. So God, I'm asking you to help me use the weapons that you have given me because I know they're mighty and I know they'll pull down strongholds. God, I know there's power in your word. I know there's power in your salvation. God, I know that there are enemies of the soul, but God, I know that you've already won the battle. So help me, God, to be strong and of good courage. Verse 5, please. Casting down the imaginations. God, I'm casting down everything in my mind right now that is not pleasing to you. I'm going to cast down everything in my mind that's distracting me in ways I'm trying to pray. God, I'm casting it down right now, Lord. Anything in my mind, anything in my life that's trying to make itself bigger than you, I'm casting that down. God, I'm casting it down. I'm making a decision right now. I don't want this in my life anymore. Any confusion, God, that I'm experiencing, I'm casting it down because I don't want anything to come between my relationship with you, God. And I'm bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There it is again. God, I'm submitting myself to you. And when we submit ourselves to God and then we resist, verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled, God, help me to be obedient to your word. Help me to be obedient to your commands. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself, well, now you've prayed. And just because you prayed to Scripture, man, there's 15 minutes that's gone by. And there's 20 minutes that's gone by. And you can go on praying. And you can pull up the Lord's Prayer and you can pray that pattern. And you can practice it. And there have been times when I've prayed it. And Sister Kathy, I never made it past Our Father. I really didn't. I was in my living room and I just like I melted. Just that's just where it was that day. God, you're so great. You're so mighty. But when we get stuck praying, we have the greatest tool at our disposal, and it is the Word of God. So I want you to stand tonight, and I want you, Brother Stratton, can you pull up some prayer music on the computer? We're all gonna pray. I want you to have that favorite verse of yours in your mind. Maybe if you've got your Bible, pull it up in your Bible. Open your Bible to it. Find it. I want us to practice this tonight. This is just one way to help our prayer life. I want us to find a place to pray. And as we pray, I want you to ask God, Lord, help me learn to pray your word. Maybe you don't have a favorite Bible verse. Just pull up that list on Church Center, the Spiritual Disciplines Group. Find a verse. Find a couple of verses. And go there. And it's going to feel awkward in the beginning. That's okay. It takes practice, but the more that we practice and the more that we pray, the easier it's going to be. So I want us to do that right now. I want us to find a place to pray, and I want us to practice praying Scripture in Jesus' name.